Okay, firstly, a confession. I don't think I've been to an evening service before, but that's really because we used to always have Ignite at the same time. And yeah, anyway, children, I blame the children. So yeah, we'll get that out of the way. And secondly, when Matt, or the Matts, I should say, gave me the title for tonight, they perhaps didn't mention that I was the sequel to This Morning. So I sat there this morning thinking that, you know, if Dave's blockbuster to my sequel, then my, you know, I could be the one that flops, but well, I'll do my best. Fortunately, I was going to take the topic in a couple of different angles, and so I've got a bit of a fallback. And after a little bit of rejigging this afternoon, I think I might be able to pull it off. So so we're going to take a different, slightly different slant, but there's a couple of different, a couple of similar verses that Dave used this morning. So the first one of those is Matthew 18. And those, really, when it came down to looking at certainly kind of children with Jesus, there are these kind of key passages that obviously we both picked up on. So I think it's a really important one that we start with. So I'll read it out, but it's up on the screen. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child to them and placed the child among them. And he said, "Truly, I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such in my name welcomes me." So in a similar way to Dave explained this morning, I just think this shouts about you know, how important children were in Jesus' teaching, but also how it's really important that we learn to learn. I don't know if that makes sense, but it kind of learn to learn again, like children just kind of are so eager to learn. And they're always asking questions and that sort of thing. So that's one of the things I wanted to look at today. So we kind of all know that kids are a bit like walking sponges. I don't know if you can relate to that. And they're just like soaking up the information around them and the experiences. And sometimes that's bad stuff. As we all know, there's, you know, bad things that can influence and that they can absorb and soak up as they're walking around like these sponges. But I'm blessed with two little sponges, and barely a minute goes by without the "but why, how, when, where," and it's just, I think a little bit of that is what we need to have, a bit of that in our lives, and perhaps that's what Jesus is talking about here when he's kind of saying we need to be more eager to learn and to learn again. So a couple of examples. This week we were all sitting in the lounge when Eden, she's quite into whispering so at the moment, so she whispered in Joe's ear, "Do you know God knitted me in your tummy?" And so we thought that's all really charming, and Joe started like teary. And then she goes, "But did it hurt me when he did it?" And she's like, all these questions started coming out, and she was very literal about it. And I just thought that was really touching, and it kind of made me, another thing made me think like that, as in how can we really get to grips with what Jesus is trying to tell us in passages. And when we read the Bible, maybe we should be kind of questioning things more in our minds and kind of trying to get the real truth out of different things rather than skimming over it and being too clever for our own good. And then another simple thing, but the other night at story time, a task that takes forever to pick a storybook, Eden called through with excitement as if it was like Christmas Day, and she said, come through, I've got something to show you. And we went through to the bedroom, and in front were like six or seven books on the rug in front of us, and we didn't really notice much of it. But then she's seriously excited. She starts like screaming with excitement, and she's saying, "Look, Daddy, I was just getting out some books, and look, I don't know how it happened, but they made Jesus's cross." And these books were roughly in this, and Easter was probably on the mind. And she left it, it was out there for all the whole kind of Easter for 3 days. She didn't let anyone touch her books out on her cross. But it's just that sort of inquisitiveness and that eager to learn, which, and they're kind of ready to be amazed. You know, you tell them something, it could be really minor, it could be not very amazing at all. But to them, sometimes it's just, you know, you can tell it delights them and their face lights up. So that's what I kind of think that Jesus is describing here, that unless we're willing to like shed all the presumptions and doubts and sins and our like preconceived ideas and things in our mind, we're never going to truly kind of enter the kingdom of heaven and really get to grips with what he wants us to hear. And at first, I kind of thought that was a bit harsh, you know, saying like, unless you're like this, that's it, no chance. But then I thought about it, and the clearer it kind of became, and that if we really can't truly give ourselves to God, we can't truly give ourselves to God unless we become that vulnerable child. So that's the slant I'm going to take, that we are the vulnerable children. And kind of for the next shot, the next slide, I couldn't find a high-res shot of Jesus, so I have to make do with faith. So she's kind of 3 days old there, and there's something kind of beautifully fragile about a newborn baby. They're just like the feeble, aren't they? They can't fend for themselves. They are like the true sense of being vulnerable. And after all, a baby is as close to pure as any of us will ever be, free from all that stuff that's weighing us down and kind of getting in between us and God. And in a little bit reflecting on this morning, it's kind of just like how God sent Jesus to us as a newborn baby, the most vulnerable you could possibly imagine, to an unknown family who were perhaps not in the right place to be starting a family. You know, God is God. He could have sent him as to a prestigious royal family with protection and guards, and or he could have sent him as a fully fledged 7-foot gladiator or muscles like Matt Coombs I got here, Brenda, to rule over the people and have a real impact. But that's not how it happened. You know, he sent that vulnerable child so we can relate, and we've all been through that. We all grew in the same way. So all of us share something in common here. We were all children, some of us more recently than others. We really are still all children, children of God. And although we might not always feel it, we're all still vulnerable. And, you know, sometimes we think we've got it all sewn up. Sometimes we don't. But, you know, sometimes we think we're secure in our family, we're secure in our work, or our bank balance, or even secure in our faith. But actually, we are all vulnerable to the things that look to destroy all that and get in between us and that. So I kind of did the cliche thing of looking up the word vulnerable in the dictionary. And the first part, it says, exposed to the possibility of being attacked or harmed, either physically or emotionally. And I think that's relevant, but I think if we put spiritually in there as well, I think it certainly relates to us on a whole different level. So if I was to say it again, exposed to the possibility of being attacked or harmed, either physically, emotionally, or spiritually. And I don't know if that relates to you, but that was just another way that we can be vulnerable, however good we think we are however good the place in life we think we are, we're still all vulnerable. So we know that how important children are to God and how important it is that they know this and follow Jesus. And that's why we have all of these great things within our church, EnFest and Energy Church, why, you know, Jason likes Gunge and baked cold baked beans, and why normally someone far too eager to dress up like a woman for the panto. And it's why Dave shared this morning about the importance of home for good and for us as a church and individually to take up the mantle and get stuck in to helping children who are truly vulnerable in every sense. But on the flip side of that, I was thinking, well, does giving your life to Jesus make you any less vulnerable? And I think the truth is sadly not. It can kind of offer us that sense of security, strength and safety in him, but it doesn't get rid of all the bad stuff around us. So it can make us more vulnerable. And as Matt was saying this morning, we only heard about his friend then who was kind of being subjected to being more vulnerable than most of us will ever even have to comprehend, all as a result of being strong in her faith. And much closer to home, it's all too often that we hear in our church, certainly I do in as far as kind of Ignite and Voltage, of the children of our church getting a really tough time because of their faith in school. And that, yeah, that's something that really gets to me. But that's kind of a topic for another time. But you know, you've got to face it that being a Christian anywhere, even in this country, is not exactly a walk in the park, and it almost kind of makes us more vulnerable. So we're all vulnerable children. I'm going to continue with that theme. So we're going to go back to Matthew 18. This time I'm going to jump to the Message, just because I thought it sounded a bit more natural. It says, but if you give them a hard time, this is talking about the kids, bullying or taking advantage of their simple trust, you'll soon wish you hadn't. You'd be better off dropped in the middle of the lake with a millstone around your neck, doomed to the world for giving these God-believing children a hard time. And hard times are inevitable, but you don't have to make it worse, and it's doomsday for you if you do. And I got the feeling there, like, Jesus, that's really stirring something up in Jesus. He's getting pretty passionate there. And it's a clear statement how important vulnerable children are to him. And he's kind of making that point. So in the next passage, which again, we might have looked at this morning, Jesus emphasizes kind of just how important children are to him. And it's almost identical, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, this story, and you'll probably all know it. Again, I'll read it out. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant, and he said to them, "Let the children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children into his arms, and he placed his hands on them and blessed them. So, you know, I have to admit, I wouldn't be able to set a scene in my mind to every biblical passage, but I was trying to imagine this bit, and I was kind of getting the feeling that it was probably pretty chaotic, kind of crowds, and Jesus is kind of surrounded, and at this point he's just traveled to a new area in Judea, and there would have been like new interests and kind of perhaps people following him around. So part of me kind of gets the disciples' concern, and perhaps they're offering a bit of like personal protection around him and like bouncers, just a bit of crowd control. Perhaps it was just the culture. You know, people don't always like to queue up like us Brits, and you know, I don't know if anyone's ever experienced anything like this, you know, just crowds, pedestrians all over the place, or even this, traffic. So, I mean, I'm not sure if Uganda is similar, Dave, but just crazy driving. So I know at times that I've been driving through the centre of Nairobi, horrendous, and actually it's not too double roundabout, and Radstock's probably similar. You're kind of like, you're just like A to B, that's all you're thinking about, and you're not kind of being courteous and letting people out. So you just kind of get there with as little time, little damage to your vehicle as possible, and as few collisions with livestock as possible. So maybe the crowds around Jesus were just notoriously lively, and the kids kind of coming through, they just needed to be controlled. After all, you know, at the time, children were of little importance, I would say, and perhaps more vulnerable than valuable. Complete contrast to how we see kids today. You know, it's hard to imagine with our era of baby yoga and parents who like taxiing kids to clubs everywhere, and of course, helicopter parents. Don't know, is anyone familiar with that? Helicopter parents are like, they just won't let the kids go. So especially Freshers Week at uni. So if you go near to a university, quite often the kids, you know, I shouldn't case 18-year-olds, are dropped off for their first week. And as they're settling in, quite often parents book themselves into a B&B, like within a mile. And then they'll just be kind of having coffee locally, and they're called helicopter parents. So they're just kind of like hovering around for the first week. And it's meant to be the worst thing you can possibly do as your child gets settled into uni. But, you know, there is a love and an interest in our kids that, you know, perhaps then they were being shunned away a bit too much. So I looked into this a bit more. I'm not a literacy wizard like some of you. So I Googled a few of the words. The first being rebuked, the Greek epitimao. That apparently is a really strong word, one used against demons and demonic powers. So I thought that was pretty harsh against, you know, for them to use that there. And the second was that Jesus was indignant. a Greek word for that. I'm not going to try. Agangiktonia. So also, it says it's a really strong word. It's displeasure, annoyance, strong irritation. And it's only used once in the gospel, in Mark's gospel, and it's here. So there's quite a bit of, like, not anger, but, you know, there's a bit of confrontation going on there on both parties. And in all of the versions of this story, Jesus says, "Truly, I tell you." And I think when you hear those words, you kind of, your ears should prick up. It's kind of a good thing's coming, or a strong message is coming. So a really quick story. How am I doing? Okay, I just really quick before we get into a bit of a slideshow. A quick story. I was trying to think back to a time that I felt vulnerable as a child. And I was going to ask people to, like, bring a photo of them when they were a baby and think about how vulnerable they might have been. But it wasn't a negative thing or to stir up emotion as such. It was just to try and get our sense around, when we were a child, how vulnerable we really are, all children. So this is a quick story. So I think I was 9 at the time, and a friend and I had decided that after a morning Saturday school, we were going to impress our classmates and disappear down through the woods and through the fields. And we were going to get into town, which is a couple of miles away. I'm age 9, this is not good. And we were going to buy something and bring it back. And it was kind of like someone each year did this. And we kind of thought, oh, well, we can do this. So on this occasion, the River Tavy was in full flow. And the usual rocky section we thought we could cross to get across was gone, and it was just like white water. So again, the stupidity starts here. And we decided we'd walk across the weir to get to the other side. And then by the time we were kind of halfway up, our wellies had disappeared, and we were kind of water hitting our fire. It was not clever at all. And we eventually made it into Tavistock, to the Woolworths. And needless to say, we did return back on the lanes, but we were clutching a copy of the latest single, which was the cartoon. I had to Google it again. The cartoons, and the title is Ooh Ee Ooh Ah Ting Tang Walla Walla Bing Bang. And I did have the audio, but I didn't include it. But you know, you can hum it to yourselves. So, you know, we got back, we lived, it was cool, and everyone was chatting about it. But actually, when I think back, that was as well as being a really stupid thing to do. Right then, I was pretty vulnerable. I was vulnerable to just my own stupidity, but it was just kind of thinking back to a time where you're up for excitement, you're eager, perhaps not to learn, but you're eager to impress, and you're just a little bit more free, I guess. So I'm going to play a slideshow now, but first of all, I was going to ask you to bring a photo of yourselves, and so instead of asking that, I've actually kept my one in as well, which was stupid, but so that's me. And then I thought, that doesn't look vulnerable enough. I look more like a CEO of a FTSE 100 or something. So I put this one up, which I'm pretty vulnerable there. My grandparents think it's funny to put me in a ginger nuts box. But so the next bit, I thought you could either, during this kind of short slideshow, you could perhaps have a think to yourself back to a time when you were that inquisitive, eager to learn, vulnerable child, and try and see how that will fit into your spiritual life now. But perhaps talk to someone around you, next to you, if you want to, and just kind of mention a time. It's meant to be a bit more nostalgic rather than therapy, but a time, just so you can kind of get the ball flowing, rolling, and you can kind of think about just a time that perhaps you just didn't have all these worries and the boring adult stuff kind of filling you. So we're going to take it's 4 minutes. And I've used some images of some kids I'd worked with in Malawi, and they're not there for any reason apart from the fact that, you know, that shows vulnerability in its worst form, I guess. But there's a twist to that we'll come to at the end. So we're going to kind of have 5 minutes, but feel free to talk to each other and just, you know, see if you can dig up some fun memory, which just a time when you were a bit more vulnerable than you are now. Is that all right? Sorry. So they were just a few slides, and just as a bit of a background to everyone's conversations. But this last slide, I'm going to leave it up because it's a real beauty, and like it's technically it's awful, like the exposure's off and the camera's full of dust, and it was years ago anyway. So I almost didn't put it in, but then I was thinking, well, actually, this is near the church, so this is the Sunday school, and I was thinking, well, actually, these are the most vulnerable children, perhaps, and these are that is the face of the vulnerable child, and God is in all of them, because, you know, they, of all the things that they wanted to do that day, they were there under the tree, hungry, you know, to learn. Yeah, they had that inquisitiveness and basically everything I'm trying to encourage us all to have once again. So, so I think I'm just going to finish there and pray into that a little bit. So I pray that after today, Lord, that we can learn to learn again and to just have that childlike heart that Jesus talked about, and that all of us can go into this week being like little spiritual sponges, and that we can really just open our hearts, our minds, be asking the who and the why and the how, and also just help those who have those questions. Even if we think we've got it all sewn up, look for those people who are asking the questions and reach out a hand to those people. So I hope you'll have a great week, and that you will go into it like these spiritual sponges, and all be able to enter the kingdom of God. Amen.